Trump targets Canadian dairy, alcohol, motorcycles as trade war deepens. The United States has banned Canadian dairy, alcoholic beverages, and motorcycles, while simultaneously barring Canadian firms from major federal procurement contracts, a dual escalation that transforms a bilateral tariff dispute into a structural rupture, with consequences for every institution holding North American supply chain exposure. The White House announced the product bans on Tuesday, September 8, 2026, with the measures set to take effect in 3 weeks. The trigger, Canada's retaliatory tariffs on $20 billion worth of American imports, which came into force at 12:01 a.m. Tuesday. Those countermeasures span steel, dairy, appliances, agricultural equipment, pulp and paper, and electronics at rates of 15%, 25%, or 50%, and cover roughly 6% of the $333.6 billion the United States exported to Canada in the prior year. President Donald Trump directed the General Services Administration to declare Canadian goods ineligible for large, long-term federal contracts until Canada grants what the administration describes as full and fair reciprocity for American products. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney framed his government's posture in unambiguous terms. It's about ensuring that no country can hold us hostage and that we can live how we want to live. Gabriel Brunet, a spokesperson for Canada-U.S. Trade Minister Dominic LeBlanc, confirmed that officials from both countries remain in contact, though formal talks have not resumed since negotiations collapsed on August 21. The stakes reach well beyond bilateral commerce. This confrontation tests whether a mid-sized U.S. ally, deeply integrated into American supply chains, can sustain economic defiance against a Washington administration willing to use procurement exclusions, product bans, and political rhetoric as levers. For institutional investors, the answer to that question reprices risk across Canadian equities, continental manufacturing exposure, and U.S. DCAD currency positions. The arithmetic of escalation, what $20 billion actually represents the numbers, reveal the asymmetry at the core of this dispute. Canada's retaliatory tariffs cover $20 billion in American goods, approximately 6% of the $333.6 billion in U.S. exports to Canada recorded in the prior year. The original U.S. salvo, announced August 22, imposed 50% tariffs on roughly 5% of Canadian exports to the United States, and separately, a 50% tariff on Canadian cars and raw materials. On a gross dollar basis, Canada's retaliation is proportionally larger relative to the triggering action. The 50% tariff rate applied to the highest sensitivity categories mirrors the U.S. initial rate, signaling a deliberate calibration. Ottawa chose to match the ceiling, not just the floor. The procurement exclusion adds a dimension that tariffs alone cannot capture. Federal procurement in the United States represents hundreds of billions of dollars annually across infrastructure, defense, and technology. Terms of the specific contracts affected were not disclosed, but the General Services Administration scope is broad. Canadian firms in construction materials, aerospace components, and information technology services face potential disqualification from a market segment with long contract durations and sticky relationships. The Canadian retaliatory package covers $20 billion in U.S. imports, hitting steel, dairy, appliances, agricultural equipment, pulp and paper, and electronics at rates ranging from 15% to 50%. Bombardier, the aerospace fault line institutional capital, cannot ignore on Monday, September 7, Trump threatened to block sales of Bombardier Aviation in the United States unless the Quebec-based manufacturer relocates production to American soil. This threat, issued via social media, is not a tariff. It is a market access ultimatum directed at a single named company. Bombardier is the largest aerospace employer in Canada by production value. Its CRJ and Challenger platforms compete directly with U.S.-produced Embraer, U.S. Assembled, and Textron variants in the regional and business jet segments. A formal U.S. sales ban would not require congressional authorization. It could be executed through export control mechanisms or executive order in a matter of weeks. For institutional holders of Bombardier debt or equity, the Trump statement introduces event risk that standard credit models do not price. Terms of any potential enforcement mechanism were not disclosed, and the White House did not follow the threat with a formal action as of the article's publication date. Investors should treat this as a live option, not a resolved risk. The broader implication: sector-specific threats against named companies are becoming a tool of trade pressure, a tactic that fragments previously unified sector bets and requires security-by-security analysis rather than top-down country allocation. The procurement exclusion, a longer and deeper wound than tariffs raise costs. Procurement exclusion sever relationships. The distinction matters for duration of impact. Trump's directive to the General Services Administration targets the type of contracts where Canadian suppliers have built multi-year pipelines. Construction, facilities management, technology services, and materials supply. These are not spot market transactions. Displacement from a federal contract cycle can remove a supplier from consideration for a decade, regardless of whether the underlying trade dispute resolves in months. For Canadian companies that derive meaningful revenue from U.S. government contracts, the financial impact will not appear in a single quarterly earnings line. It will compound through attrition, fewer renewals, fewer new awards, and the reputational cost of being designated as a restricted vendor in a jurisdiction that represents their largest export market. The condition for reinstatement, full and fair reciprocity for American products, mirrors the language used to maintain tariffs indefinitely without a defined trigger for removal. A Canadian official stated on Tuesday that Ottawa does not intend to change course regardless of the U.S. response, describing the government's strategy as focused on building more at home and diversifying trade abroad. That posture closes the near-term path to procurement reinstatement. Carney's diversification mandate, trade flow reorientation at scale, Carney's language on Tuesday was precise. In too many areas, they wanted dependency, not a true economic partnership. We can't let American goods into Canada tariff-free while they charge our companies to export to them. This is not a negotiating position. It is a structural policy declaration. Canadian provinces have already moved. Several have banned the sale of American alcoholic products, a consumer-facing action that preceded and partially triggered the U.S. beverage ban announced Tuesday. Carney praised the consumer boycott of American goods and reduced Canadian travel to the United States as evidence of national resolve. Sources: The Guardian. Diversification at the scale Canada requires is a multi-year capital allocation problem. Mexico, the European Union, and Indo-Pacific partners each offer partial substitutes for U.S. market access, but none replicate the proximity, infrastructure integration, or regulatory alignment of the U.S. relationship. Institutional capital following this reorientation should track Canadian government bond issuance, trade finance facility expansions, and bilateral investment treaty activity with non-US partners over the next 12 to 24 months. These will be the financial footprints of a structural shift, not a tactical pause. The Placamium view, the market consensus, treats this dispute as a negotiating war of attrition with an eventual resolution. Placamium disagrees. The procurement exclusion is the tell. Tariffs can be suspended in an afternoon. Procurement exclusion lists, once embedded in GSA vendor databases and contracting officer guidance, persist well beyond the political moment that created them. The Trump administration has chosen an instrument that outlasts the trade dispute itself. That is not a negotiating tactic. It is a structural redesign of the bilateral commercial relationship. The second-order effect that the market is not pricing: Canadian pension funds, and institutional allocators, which collectively hold substantial U.S. equity and real estate exposure, face a political environment in which their domestic government is now officially pursuing economic independence from the United States. The repatriation of capital, even partial and gradual, would represent a non-trivial flow reversal in USD-denominated assets. Canada's largest pension funds manage combined assets exceeding $2 trillion. A 5 percentage point shift in U.S. allocation would generate capital flows that move markets. The Bombardier threat is also a template, not an isolated event. If the administration is willing to name a single company and threaten market exclusion via a social media post, every Canadian firm with significant U.S. revenue exposure is now carrying an unquantifiable headline risk premium. That risk cannot be diversified away within a Canadian equity portfolio. Our view, this dispute resolves on Canada's terms, or it does not resolve at all before the 2026 U.S. midterm elections in November. Carney has built his political identity around resistance. A concession before midterms would destroy his domestic mandate. The window for a negotiated off-ramp is narrow, and it is closing. The bottom line, the U.S.-Canada trade war moved from a tariff dispute to a structural decoupling event on September 8, 2026. Product bans on dairy, alcohol, and motorcycles are visible and symbolic. The procurement exclusion is consequential and durable. Institutional investors with Canadian supply chain exposure, CAD-denominated assets, or holdings in Canadian firms with U.S. government revenue streams should treat the August 21 breakdown in talks as the inflection point, not a pause. Formal talks have not resumed. Ottawa has stated it will not change course. Washington has added enforcement tools that survive any near-term political settlement. The probability of a clean, full resolution before the end of 2026 is lower than current equity valuations in affected sectors imply.